to welcome the Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, Attorney Von Kleem with Force Science at forcescience.com. And I see you've got like a little coupon thing listed, and we're going to have to talk about that in a second. But under your name, where your name is at, I don't know if there's what that means. But anyhow, at forcescience.com. And also, we've got Randy Sutton, retired lieutenant, Las Vegas Metro Police Department, also the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. So thanks so much for being on the show, gentlemen. I appreciate it. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, guys, our sponsors go to the great lengths to bring this good quality content to you. So please support our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Gulls at Gulls.com. Also, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. And thanks to them, we've been on satellite radio since May with Westwood One. Also, ArrowPrecisionUSA.com. And they're our streaming sponsor. Well, I'm sorry, our arm sponsor, and they've got the guns. And yeah, you'll be hearing more about that later. Gunlearn.com on Medicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And yes, we are streaming right now to over a million followers. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, so please check that out. And FishOrlandoBass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter in the Orlando area. So when you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney, guys, you now have options. So drop them off, let them have a great time, and bring back photos of you catching the bass with Zach. Or if you're feeling very adventurous, go do the Florida alligator hunting with Zach and catch and relocate alligators. And then send those pictures, which will probably have a little bit of blood on them, to us. So we want to see those and put those up on the site. So it's pretty tame and safe. But FishOrlandoBass.com. Hey, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich with FormerLawman.com. And finally, Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And guys, I know I've got the, I was gone all, last week. I was in California. Randy, all your peeps said hi. Oh, Randy's got, he's got his fan. He's got his fan club there. But, I missed you guys, though. The weather wasn't quite what it is, in sunny Florida, at least anyhow. And it wasn't sunny California, because I was up in Carmel and, Monterey and then Napa. And it was just like being in San Francisco. The fog's rolling in. I was telling Vaughn earlier, there's so much I couldn't see, the mountains, the ocean. And then when I went to Napa, it just rained the whole time. So I was ready to come back to Florida.
But what a beautiful place.
Oh, I wish we had a Carmel here in Florida. Let me tell you, it is. I did go to Mission Ranch, which is Clint Eastwood's place. And I usually do that. And I see Vaughn shaking his head. You know what I'm talking about, Vaughn, huh? Mm-hmm. So
I spent a lot of time out in California and familiar with Carmel. And I think you've got an insider's track on it more so than I do recently. But yeah, you're starting to bring back some memories.
Yeah, it's just, it's just a special place, it's so funny when I go places and they say, why in the world would you go to California? I automatically know that they have never been to Carmel, because they wouldn't be asking me that question if they've ever been to Carmel.
There's so many places in California. It's beautiful. The only problem is they're in California.
Well, yeah. But even that, when people find out that I'm from Florida, it's like they roll out the red carpet. It's really amazing. They just treat me like gold. And, I know a lot of it is because of our governor, Ron DeSantis, because, with Gavin Newsom, they had a lot of businesses that were closed during COVID. And so when they find out that I'm from Florida, it is really like rolling out the red carpet. It's pretty nice. So, I love it, but it's a little ways away. And it's about 7 hours of flying to get there with a connecting flight, and then I could fly straight back, but I have to fly to San Francisco and leave from San Francisco, which is the only downside. So there you go. I pack, when I travel, especially to California, and especially if I'm flying into San Francisco. So I do the whole, pack the gun, this is like second nature. I have to think about it, right? Guns unloaded. I lock it. I lock the slide open. I put my magazines in there. I got one loose round that I took out of the chamber, and I got everything locked. And anyhow, I go into the TIA, Tampa International Airport. They gave me the red card saying it's got a firearm. They throw it through the X-ray machine. They give me the thumbs up. They ask me a couple of questions first, and everything's, we're good to go. We get to San Francisco, connecting flight through L.A., and I always have my wife. We got it down to a system. I had my wife go to the conveyor belt. They're supposed to bring out my luggage because it's got a firearm in it through security, and I have to show an ID to be able to get it. Shows up on the conveyor belt with the regular luggage. It's like one of the first things to come off the plane with the other everybody else's luggage. So they get it wrong. I find out later on why. So when I'm leaving San Francisco and I go to check in my gun, the chick tells me I want to, you know, well, she takes me back to the X-ray machine. I said, don't you want to give me the red card? I just stick it in my suitcase because they never asked to see your gun. She goes, no, we're doing it differently. So the guy where the X-ray machine is at wants me to open my luggage. Then he wants me to open up the case I got my gun in. Well, you know, I don't have my readers on. I've already spun the combinations on two locks that are locking my gun box that's inside my suit. So takes me a while to get the combination right where I can see it. I open it and I have to show him my gun. It's open and everything's perfect. But I think, you know, WTF, like, what is this about? You know, I find out their X-ray machine's down. That's why they didn't catch it on the way in and they put it in the regular conveyor belt and they want to do a visual inspection because they got, you know, the X-ray thing's not working. And then in Tampa, lo and behold, the regular conveyor belt again. I never got any luggage on this trip through security. Everything was just out with the masses, gun and everything. Wow.
Well, I tell you what's weird is I've only had it go through my gun go through security one time. It's always on the conveyor belt. I've only had it one time where they put it through security.
You gotta be kidding me. You know, they always put that zip tie on your luggage. So when I get in my rental car, dude, I can't take a knife with me, right? So now
I've never had to put a zip tie on it either.
Every time. So I carry, they didn't do it this time because it went on in the regular, but when they bring it through security, I can see them. They're coming. They're getting ready to come to the security door. They stop. The guy bends down and he's putting the zip tie all the way around my luggage to make sure I can't open it while I'm in the airport. So I travel with clippers and I carry them on the plane. They're not considered a weapon. And when I get my briefcase, I clip those suckers that zip tie off. And then I'm able to get to my gun and my mags if I have to.
I think you're an untrustworthy person. That's why they do.
Yeah. There's a special code on here. Cause I've never had any of that. They let me actually keep it on.
Oh, come
my
on.
Person.
Never.
Yeah, I just tell them who I am. I keep the gun on me. I fly with it on me all the time.
Oh, please. Please. No. Do you think I'm falling for that?
Listening, that's not how it works.
when I was young and I was an active cop and I, that John Wayne syndrome, I was in San Diego, badged my way onto the plane, had my ankle holster on, my Model 60 Smith & Wesson 5-shot 38, and I was traveling with my parents. And then they... plane doesn't take off and I got people coming on board looking for me and they escort me off the plane. and I had to, they wouldn't let me take it on, but this is probably in the mid 80s when that happened. So things have changed.
That would have been Randy who escorted you off then. I was going to say, I probably was the guy who escorted you off, but you went too far back into the 80s. That was Randy.
Well, so, let's see what we're talking about here. We've got some main stories, and we've got a pretty good roundup here. So we got main story, 81 arrested. Well, it's all about immigration. I got three titles, but it's ICE crackdown. We starts off with talking about Operation Charlotte's Web. So we're going to be talking about that. And we've got Baltimore police officer indicted after a viral video shows him chasing a person with a vehicle. And Vaughn just had me watch that. We just needed some of that special music while that was going on. and you know what I'm talking about. Then two clerks injured and a robbery suspect killed after a shootout with Denver police officers. That's pretty wild. We got a Salt Lake City officer fatally shooting a suspect who threw a rock at the officer. That's interesting. 173-mile California pursuit. You telling me they couldn't stop this chick? It ends. She's in a freaking minivan of all things. And it ends 173 miles. She makes it into Mexico and she freaking escapes. Are you kidding me? And then we got an armed suspect shot by Boise police after the suspect stabs himself in the neck. You would have thought they just should have just chased the guy until he bled out. And then autopsy reveals a rapper shot 17 times in the back by an off-duty cop in Georgia. But this is Georgia, and we're going to be talking about the DA over there. And then finally, we got Bay County Sheriff's deputy fatally shoots a suspect who charged him with a machete, which is, of course, the weapon of choice these days. So we've got less than a minute. And I know that I took up a lot of time talking about, you know, my trip and security protocols. And now we probably have a lot of, you know, I probably gave too much information about security downs in San Francisco, but they deserve it. So, but anyhow, we'll start off with the main topic. Let me just with the appetite with that one in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we'll be taking a commercial break in a second, but 81 arrested in an ICE crackdown. Charlotte's Web is the name of the operation. It's drawing hundreds to protest. Unbelievable. The people just don't realize what we're trying to do. Guys, it's time for our first commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com. And you know, guys, when it goes to or comes to buying gear and you consider your online options, it's almost limitless, right? I mean, you can go just about anywhere. So I want to talk to you guys about what's really important here. It's supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. Look, a lot of people say they do, but do they really? Because I don't know of a company that does that better than Galls at Galls.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Galls at Galls.com. And, yeah, we're not done. They're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they've given me a radio code that I'm authorized to pass on to you guys. You can get 15% off your next order at Galls.com by typing in Radio 15. Again, that code is Radio 15. They get 15% off your next purchase at Galls.com, and they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Galls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. Now we're going to be talking about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And you know, guys, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3. It stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yeah, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them the Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com, and make sure you watch the cool videos. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. On the commercial break, we were talking about going SHOT Show and some fun we're going to be having. But, you know, I left off talking about 81 arrested at an ICE crackdown. It's Operation Charlotte's Web, joined hundreds to protest. And guys, if you don't mind, I'm going to run through all three articles before we weigh in, if that's okay. If there's something, if you just can't stand it, you know, and you got to jump in, go ahead and just stop me and do it. But I'm going to run through the three unless one of you guys, you know, stops me. So the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, they descend on Charlotte over the weekend, 81 arrests. And it's the first phase of this operation by Homeland Security, and it's called Operation Charlotte's Web. And I'm sure some people have been, you know, listening to it or watching the protest on the news. The enforcement actions concentrated on the immigrant heavy areas. And of course, there's a lot of protest and clashes between the feds and local authorities. Now, the Customs and Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino, he announced on Sunday morning that 81 people have been arrested so far. He stated that many have criminal histories and promising to release more information on social media. Now, DHS Assistant Secretary Tricia McLaughlin defended the operation, stating that it targets violent, criminal, illegal aliens, and it was necessary because local, and this is hard to read, it's necessary, this operation, because local law enforcement was repeatedly not detaining people charged with serious crimes. You've got to be freaking kidding me. I mean, we know this is true, but this is just asinine, right? DHS explicitly linked the surge to the city's policies, claiming that local sanctuary laws prevented the honoring of 1,400 detainers. Yeah, thereby putting criminal legal migrants from murderers, rapists, and pedophiles back on Charlotte streets. Now, look, they've got pictures and a couple of examples. This Jordan Renato Castillo Chavez guy's illegal alien arrested for indecent liberties with a child, first-degree sexual exploitation of a minor, attempted statutory sexual offense with a child less than 15 years old, and solicitation of a child by a computer. And then we got this other guy, Jose Ulloa Martinez, criminal legal alien from Honduras, and he's arrested for murder. and he was released after authorities failed to honor an ICE retainer. And then we got Osman Armando Paz Ortiz, illegal alien from Honduras, statutory sex offense with a child, indecent liberties with a child, sex acts by a substitute parent guardian. It just goes on and on. And now they go on to say that, well, the next one, you know, this the CDL, commercial driver's license thing, that's also a thing too involving the illegal. So California legally issues 17,000 trucking licenses. Feds revoked them. California issued 17,000 illegal trucking licenses. Are you kidding me? So the Department of Motor Vehicles, the California Department of Motor Vehicles, has admitted to unlawfully issuing approximately 17,000 non-domiciled commercial driver's licenses to foreign nationals. And the U.S. Department of Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy announced that on Wednesday. And this revelation follows an intense ongoing Fed investigation by the Trump administration that they were not happy about, but it was investigating how foreign drivers, including undocumented migrants, managed to obtain CDLs despite federal regulations, often after being involved in deadly highway accidents, which we've all heard by now. And here's a quote. After weeks of claiming they did nothing wrong, Gavin Newsom, of course, the California governor, may have been caught red-handed, according to Secretary Sean Duffy. He said, now we've exposed their lies, and 17,000 illegally issued trucking licenses are now being revoked. And just for clarity, the non-domiciled CDLs are generally issued to foreign nationals who are not residents of the state, and they are non-American citizens or green card holders. And an audit by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, they previously flagged California as the most egregious offender, finding that more than 25% of non-domiciled CDLs reviewed in the state were improperly issued. California, you got to love it. And then our last article, how did Pennsylvania issue a CDL to an alleged terrorist who was busted in Kansas? Yeah, it happened again. Surprisingly, not California. The arrest of a criminal illegal immigrant in Kansas last week triggered a review of the state-level identification procedures, particularly in Pennsylvania, of all places, which granted this individual a commercial driver's license despite his status as a foreign national wanted for terrorism. So, yeah, so ICE got involved. They announced November 9th the arrest of this 31-year-old Akor Bazarov. He's a citizen of Uzbekistan, and he's wanted in his home country for belonging to a terrorist organization. And so, yeah, this guy came across the border, and Pennsylvania decided to hook him up under the leadership of Governor Josh Shapiro. Vaughn, your mic's open. I'll let you start us off. We got almost 3 minutes before we take our next commercial break.
Yeah, no, I think they're trying to show the feds are serious about this, right? We just listened. We were down at Mar-a-Lago last week for the Federal Law Enforcement Officer Association Big Blue Bash, and Tom Holman spoke, and Christy Noem was there, and the voice of the immigration, yeah, our Cueto was there. And what we know is they're taking it seriously. And I think a lot of these stories are setting up a false narrative that these immigrant communities, the lawful immigrant communities, want these people removed from their communities. The idea that they're creating sanctuary states because they're trying to encourage the immigrant communities to make sure they report to the police when they have crimes, that they'll come forward. Right. They're going to come forward to report crimes, but who are they reporting crimes on? Right. It's absolutely counterintuitive. The idea that we don't enforce the law because we want them to come forward so that they report on people who are violating the law, whether it's a domestic or it's their neighbor who's doing something illegal. So what we do know is the feds are taking it very seriously. They're prioritizing who they remove. But they're also offering those immigrants, whether they're here legally or not, the ability to get out of here without these enforcement actions. And I think they've already got like 1.6 million people have self-removed under the Trump's program. So it's not like they're not trying to build community trust. They're not trying to have these conversations and say, we do not think all of you are criminals, but we're coming into the communities, which a lot of them want, to remove the criminals from the communities. And by the way, it's not just the illegal immigrant communities or the legal immigrant communities we're worried about. These immigrants are actually, the illegal immigrants, the criminal immigrants, are actually impacting and committing crimes against lawful U.S. citizens. And we're hearing story after story after story of people who are killed by DUIs, who are sexually assaulted, who are murdered, and we're meeting their family members, and the feds aren't going to slow down. Tom Holman has promised that.
I love it. You got to love a guy like Tom Holman. So, Randy Sutton, any weigh-ins on the I know you're probably closer to the border than anybody right now.
Well, it's my understanding that with the driver's license, that of course a federal judge has put a stay on the revocation of those licenses now.
So that's wonderful. Great. Well, look, guys, we're up for our second commercial break. Stick with us. We got some fantastic stories we're going to be covering. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. You can visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com, and, you know, they have the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, but they're now being tailored for the civilian customer. So that means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5AR three-way platform, that's nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. And, hey, don't forget, they've got that Green Beret Delta Force operative, you know, Scott Steyer, that's on the show as well, and he's absolutely killing it. And so we're expecting him later on this week. And don't forget, they have their Solus Bolt Actions and their M4E1 Pro and the Mod4 handguards that are out of the market. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Attorney Vaughn Kleem with ForceScience.com and also Lieutenant Randy Sutton with the Wounded Blue, the Wounded Blue Diet. .org. So, guys, we've been talking about, well, we had three articles involving the Customs and Border Patrol, illegal aliens, and also CDLs, commercial driver's licenses. So the trifecta, right? So if you guys have anything else you want to throw in on that, feel free to. Otherwise, we can go to the first update involving a Baltimore police officer that's been indicted for chasing a guy in a car. But any more on the past topic? You guys ready to roll on?
Well, let me just add this. We're going to these conferences, and what we're finding is the state and local police and the feds, the officers themselves are still trying really hard to cooperate and coordinate their responses, even if they're just getting each other's back from an officer safety standpoint. So we're really excited to see that. But there is a definite tension being felt by the executive leadership in these local agencies and what they're being allowed by their politicians to do relative to enforcing these federal laws. So it's or to assisting the federal officers. So we're seeing that tension out there, but the officers themselves, I'm happy to report, are actually still getting each other's backs. Almost overwhelmingly, cops are still being cops out there.
That's a good point to make in distinction. I'm glad you brought that up, Vaughn. You know, cops are some of the funniest people you'll ever meet in your life. And they just want to do their job. They don't want to be held back. And so, so I'm glad you pointed that out, that a lot of this is just political, and, you know, and we're paramilitary, right? So they have to do what they're told. And I know it's driving a lot of these guys absolutely freaking crazy. They want to do their jobs, and they're being held back in certain, liberal jurisdictions or sanctuary, you know, environment. So unfortunately,
well, we got, you know, this, so people understand the tension out there. There are actually politicians right now that are asking their police leaders in the state or at the local level to physically resist the federal officers, to arrest the federal officers for crimes such as kidnapping or violating their status. So yeah. Now, luckily the police are explaining to their mayors and politicians, like, yeah, we're not going to do that. But it was recently reported that they're actually being asked in some of these jurisdictions to physically resist the federal efforts, not just fail to support, but actually physically try to stop them. We haven't seen that yet, but it's at least we know the ask has been made.
Well, yeah. look at what happened yesterday with seven members of Congress telling the military that they should resist following orders. I mean, this has gotten to a point now where we're seeing leadership of this nation and in cities, counties, and even the federal government really invoke treason. It's mind-boggling what's happening, and no consequences to these leaders.
You know, if the country wasn't open up for 4 years, this whole crisis wouldn't even exist. So I there's a bit of resentment that I have for the people that allowed us to even get to this point, but it's not going to be pretty, just like a use of force. It's never pretty. It's got to get done though. Guys, we got 7 minutes before we get to our next commercial break. So CBSnews.com, Baltimore police officer indicted after a viral video shows him chasing a person with a vehicle. Thanks to Vaughn. I watched the video clip. I wasn't aware that it was in the update article, but a Baltimore police officer indicted after he's seen in a viral video chasing a person with a police cruiser in late October. State's attorney Ivan Bates announced this on Wednesday. So Robert A. Parks, he's facing charges of second degree attempted murder. Wow. And second degree attempted murder, first and second degree assault, reckless driving, and misconduct in office. Now, if he's found guilty of all the charges, he could face a maximum prison sentence of 65 years, according to Bates. Now, Officer Parks was suspended without pay on Tuesday. Without pay. That's not a good sign. And he was seen in a video driving aggressively in a marked police cruiser through Baltimore's Park Heights neighborhood, nearly running someone over, but he didn't. He's been with the Baltimore Police Department since 2020. I wish I had a little bit more background on him. Parks turned himself into the police on Wednesday morning. The charges brought forward in the indictment reflect, this is a quote now, not me saying it, but they're saying that Bates says the charges brought forward in the indictment reflect the seriousness and dangerous nature of the actions we all witnessed in the viral video of Officer Parks driving his vehicle directly at a civilian while on duty. Now, Parks initially had his police power suspended and was working in administrative capacity after the video was shared on social media in late October. And according to the indictment, this happened October the 28th, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Parks is driving to a store. He stops near a group of individuals that are standing on the sidewalk and tells them, "Hey, it's getting a little hot, guys. I need you guys to take a lap." And when the individuals begin to leave, the indictment alleges that this officer gets in his patrol car. He drives a short distance. He stops near a curb where one of these individuals was that he had talked to. He calls the person by name, motions for them to approach him, but instead they start to walk away. He returns to his car, gets on the radio saying, "I got one running, adult male in the alley." And then we know what happens next. He drives his vehicle on a paved driveway and he's following the civilian as he's running into a grassy area. Parks allegedly hits the person with his vehicle before the person runs towards Willie Avenue. So hit him, not ran over him. It's sad when I have to make distinctions. The incident alleges that Parks continued to follow the person onto a sidewalk, through an alley, into a backyard. The guy jumps over a fence before fleeing. And so the mayor now is weighing in, Brandon Scott. "This officer's actions are unacceptable and completely at odds with how we expect our public servants to act. We are thankful to our partners in the state's attorney's office for the work and will be closely following the outcome of the trial. If convicted, the officer will be fired immediately, but I guess until then he's suspended without pay." Commentary on this, guys? Randy, you want to start us off?
Outrageous overcharging. Outrageous overcharging. I mean, yeah, it didn't look so hot. I mean, it was, I got to say, I laughed my butt off, but of course, but he wasn't trying to kill him. The fact that they're just, this is politics at its very best. You know, they suspended him, you know, in a normal set of circumstances, he'd have gotten some days off, but they want to put him under the prison because of the optics here. So his goose is cooked, unfortunately.
Yeah, I would just add, like, we're involved in most of the high profile cases in the country, stuff that hits the news. We've done a lot of Georgia cases and have great outcomes. I will tell you, your audience, not one of the cases that we look at looks anything like the initial media portrayal. Even the media and the political press releases, the cases we get look very much different. So I do not trust the angles of the video. Obviously, you've heard me talk, videos are liars. Did he actually make contact with the guy? Was he trying to break at the time or accelerate the time? All of these are the questions we would ask when we start to evaluate this case. What did he know about the suspect? Apparently had a misdemeanor warrant, ticks off running. Was he armed or suspected of being armed? If he had a gun, of course, you're not going to get out and tackle a guy with a gun or a knife. So the use of your vehicle in a deadly force situation against a deadly threat would not be unreasonable. I don't know if those are the facts in this case or what he knew from prior context. There was so much we would investigate in a case like this for them to come out and start already having convicted this guy. my first reaction is, if the facts come out and we find out that this was an absolutely reasonable use of force, or that what they believe they saw in that video isn't actually what occurred, because videos, as you know, are distorted in angles, time, distance, and speed. We don't use videos to determine angles, times, distance, and speed, unless they've been interrogated. And this was just released to the public with a narrative surrounding it. And now we've got, if we come in or someone like us comes in and actually analyzes this case correctly, and an officer is either charges are dismissed or he's found not guilty, now you've got a community who's already been convinced the guy's guilty, thinking that the officer was corrupt, right? Or that the system is corrupt. When in fact, what's happened is we've allowed these politicians to get ahead of the story again and to completely destroy the presumption of innocence that should apply to police officers as well. Now, having said that, we may investigate the case and go, yeah, he should never have done that. But we're not there yet. None of us can watch this right. video and come to the conclusions that these guys have already come to, is the point.
Yeah. And the litany of charges that they have they placed against this guy. This is that's the outrageous part of this. That they went only for the political aspect of this and the optics. And so look at me. This is what we're doing because we're going to bury this guy. And this is once again, this is another example of the tail wagging the dog.
Yeah, they and to your point, a lot of these media engagements are not done for transparency and accountability. They do not want their cities to burn. They do not want another Wendy's to burn down. They do not want another riot or protest. And so they're trying to get a hold of it and saying, look, we don't like it either. Please don't burn our city down, is sort of the unstated message there. And so that is not what rule of law is about. That is not the presumption of innocence. That's not a fair and honest accountability. But understanding what they're doing is for a completely different purpose.
Guys, got a commercial break coming up. Thank you, Vaughn. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own attorney, Ken Affianco, and also Captain Brett Bartlett. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Vaughn Kleem from forescience.com and also Lieutenant Randy Sutton with the Wound of Blue at thewoundofblue.org, formerly Las Vegas Metro Police Department. He makes me say that last part. Hey, guys, this last topic, any more revelations on that? And if not, I want Vaughn to talk about, we didn't really have time to talk a lot, but we had time to talk about the show. I didn't notice it until the show is up. Forescience.com, coupon Leo 150 or 150 off. It's Leo 15 off. So what do you got? What do you got going on there, Vaughn?
Yeah, you know, here's the deal just for your audience members. If you guys use that coupon code, we just launched our online Force Encounters course. It's an amazing course. It's your foundational course. And it's for those of you who want right now for that coupon, LEO 15 off, you get 15% off. And that can apply to any of our courses right now. So if you have any of those online courses, use that coupon code LEO 15 off. But we're just trying to encourage people to get out there. It's been a long time, and we've finally been able to release the online portion of one of our flagship programs. So I wanted to announce that on your show today. It's the first time that's been announced. And then also on top of that, understand our 2026 Force Science Conference is now accepting proposals from speakers. And you can sign up and for early, if you go to our website for the 2026 conference, if you sign up for early registration, it's $100 off. But this is widely held as being the best conference in the country for those who are looking for the application of human performance to the police operations, investigations, and then, of course, litigation after the fact. So get after it. Get signed up early. $100 off of those conference attendees. And those who are going to take advantage of our online course is 15% off coupon code for you. So thanks, Chip, for allowing us to do that.
I love it. So look, for our Audible listeners that are maybe listening by radio or maybe podcast right now without the video version of it, that coupon code, it's LEO15OFF. That's OFF. So make sure you type in that. That is, I believe, what do we got? 8 digits there. So LEO15OFF. So make sure you get that code right. And thanks, Vaughn. You guys got some great stuff going on. Guys, if you're ready to go for the story with the video. It's another video component story, really. We got two clerks injured in this one. So Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Two clerks injured, robbery suspect killed after shootout with Denver police officers.
Oh, yeah, there was. There was a shot fired.
Hey, firm, shot fired.
Take the fucking thing down.
Go!
Go! Hey, be careful.
Watch me! Hands up! Where's he at? I'm holding it!
Drop the gun!
Where's he at? Come here! He's in the counter! Counter! That's the cover! Hold down! Where's he at? Corner, right corner, push, I mean, right corner.
There's some wild stuff going on in this one. So we're in Denver, Colorado. Denver police injured. I know it sounds bad, but they injured two clerks when they responded to a robbery at a gas station last month, according to officials. So the employees of the Maverick convenience store who were injured, they were injured by a bullet or shrapnel, one in their leg and the other one in their foot during the shooting, according to the Major Crimes Division Commander Matt Clark. Now, here's how this thing goes down. There is a video component that you guys can watch in the produced version of the show that comes out the very next morning. So tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock on a Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable, you guys can watch that. But the shooting at the Maverick store happened on October the 27th. The guy who was killed, so I kind of let that out of the bag, Hosea Rashid Moore, only 35 years old. The department interacted with this bad guy before the shooting in other cases, including domestic violence. The shooting at the Maverick convenience store, it happened when our bad guy Moore went in and he asked to buy cigarettes, but he couldn't pay for them. And then he tried to buy a single cigarette, and the clerk said, you can't do that. So then our bad guy named Moore shows the clerk his gun and tells them to lock the door, turn off the light, call the cops. So Moore smokes a cigarette, which I suspect he did not pay for. And then he drinks Fireball shooters, which is what Randy does a lot. No correlation. Before the police get there. Now, he also placed his driver's license and social security card on the shop's counter. So this guy's just looking for, you know, he's looking for to make a statement, an engagement. And then he wants to let everybody know who he was after the fact. So the video footage released on Monday shows the officers, they're outside and they hear a gunshot from inside the gas station. Now, remember, this dude's inside, he's locked the door, and so they don't exactly know what's going on, but the doors are locked. And so the cavalry's there on the outside, they hear a gunshot on the inside. It's 8:45 p.m. now, so it's dark, it's late. After forcing their way by breaking one of the glass doors and climbing through it, which really makes you susceptible to a lot of things because they're on the ground crawling through, right? Inside, more the bad guy and the employees, they're on opposite sides of the store. So let me give the verbal picture here for our audience. When the cop goes in and he stands up, now remember, it's dark outside, but he goes in through this, he's almost kind of like silhouetted, and he stands up. He can see inside the store, but at the very far end of the store, he's got the employees on the right side, it looks like, and then the bad guy behind a counter on the left, I believe is how it initially was. And so, but they're on opposite sides at the other end of the store. So officers tell the bad guy, because they can see he's got a gun, hey, drop the gun. He responds by firing his gun at them several times. So he initially fired, you know, in the air, but when they make entries, firing at them. So overall, the bad guy shoots about 10 rounds from a handgun. He's doing sporadic firing. He shoots, it confirms what I just told you about, shooting one in the air, then at the cops. Multiple cops, they fire on the suspect. So what it appears to me, and again, I'm doing what Vaughn says not to do, and I'm watching the video, but this, I don't have a lot to go on here, but it appears to me, and you guys tell me if you think I'm wrong, that we got a pretty cool cat, a cop. He's pinpoints this guy. He's listening to this guy doing sporadic fire, and the guy's not shooting at him, and he finds the freaking guy when he's firing a shot. See, the bad guy fires a shot, then he fires two or three more as the cop is getting the beat on him, and then the cop just freaking unloads. And of course, soda cans are busting, and there's freaking, you know, soda pop going everywhere. And pop is another word for soda, Randy. And depending on where you live in the country. So it was just a freaking mess. So bullets are flying everywhere, and Denver cops, you get one cop opens up, the rest are going to fall. Cops fired from Denver 57 rounds of ammunition, including from a rifle. And then the bad guy's bloodied, handcuffed, and then he dies. You know, they classified him as dead. So two gas station employees were also huddled in the corner by the refrigerated section opposite the suspect when the gunfire breaks out. And we got body worn cameras showing one of the cops applying a tourniquet around the leg of one of the guys. So one of the six Denver officers also who responded was shot in the leg, and he needed surgery. So both the officer and the two clerks, I guess they all went down to the hospital, but they're going to recover from their injuries. So we got 2.5 minutes. I know you guys are fighting to go first. So, Randy, why don't you start us off, and then Bono will clean it up.
Who wants to make a guess as to who shot the police officer?
Oh, another cop. Gotta be.
That was a mess. That was a mess. But how about the first, when the officer first made the initial entry and he broke through the glass and he's crawling through that, and he just started going by himself. And one of the cops says,
open the door. Push the door.
Called him a name and said, open the stupid door.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
There wasn't a much of a tactical plan here. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I just focused on a lot of the positive things. Like, these guys went direct to threat, right? So this is an active shooter. If this was a school, we would have all been singing their praises. But it's an active shooter with known potential civilian victims. These guys did not hesitate. I mean, every single one of these cops could be dead right now, right? They put themselves knowingly in the line of fire and assumed risk on behalf of the community to draw that fire towards themselves, of somebody they knew had a gun, right? And so they break that out. Now, we understand human performance. You go direct to threat. When you go through the door, you got to start moving and not tunnel vision. So it doesn't surprise me the guy didn't stop to push the door open. In hindsight, as we sit here in our air-conditioned offices, it seems like an obvious thing to do. Was like, okay, you broke through the glass. You climbed through the glass. You did that at great risk to yourself. Now, how about opening the door for your buddy so they don't have to do the same thing? I don't even know if the door was unlocked. So I'm going to be really I'm going to show a lot of grace to the officer, because one, he had the priority is focusing on the known threat. The known threat's the guy with the gun who could be mobile, who could be shooting people. You understand why he didn't feel like he had time even to stop, turn around, and open a door, right? So I'm looking at that. These guys, their communication was great. You could see the frustration. They were all feeling that sense of urgency, but none of them hesitated. They went direct to threat. And I'm sorry, I don't know who shot who at this point. But yeah, that is one of the byproducts. There's no perfect tactical solution, right? This is the reality of the operating environment. Now, I'm going to be curious to see who sues who, right? And who claims the officers should have done something different or do something better. But this was an active shooter. They went direct to threat. They did it at great risk themselves. And I was, as bad as the outcome was with people getting shot, everybody's alive. Bad guy, the threat was ceased quickly.
I love it. I love it. You know, hey, we're on Wounded Blue time. I usually mention the Wounded Blue. Vaughn, if people watch the show and want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Get a hold of me?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, forcescience.com, or get a hold of my company. If you want to get a hold of me personally, it's Vaughn, V-O-N, Vaughn.Kleem, K-L-I-E-M, at ForceScience.com, right? Vaughn.Kleem at ForceScience.com.
Right.
Please hit me up with questions.
And you're on LinkedIn, too. Hey, the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out of the world or hurt that are in the grease, suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. They also have stuff for spouses as well. So please consider supporting the Wounded Blue. Hey, our sponsors, guys, Galls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, Aero Precision USA, GunLearn, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, Fisher, OrlandoBass.com. Thanks for watching the show. We'll look for you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.